Welcome, everyone. I am Mukund Thirumalai from the Customer Business Transformation Team in Cisco's Voice Technology Group. Welcome today to the latest in Cisco's ongoing series of podcasts on driving business value through collaboration technologies. We're covering multiple verticals here. The verticals we intend to cover are manufacturing, financial services, healthcare, retail, and public sector. In prior podcasts, we have covered healthcare and manufacturing already. Today, we will talk about financial services. And to help us do that, I have with me today one of my colleagues who specializes in that vertical.
Hi. Hello, all. This is Leon Grekin, also with the Customer Business Transformation Team, and I lead the financial services focus in our team.
In previous podcasts, we've talked about how value enabled by Cisco Unified Communications and Collaboration Solutions has evolved from the early phase cost savings and personal productivity improvements to a point where it encompasses multiple levels of integration with business processes and capabilities. And it's actually now even beginning to extend out into the realm of intercompany collaboration. The gist of our discussion has been that, you know, driving maximum value requires transformation of business capabilities by integrated solutions that are delivered as part of a comprehensive collaboration platform. Leon, could you maybe help us build on those prior discussions and provide insights on how this is relevant in financial services? And as you do that, help us understand areas such as, and what are some of the challenges and associated business priorities in the financial services industry, how some of those priorities and objectives can be enabled by unified communications and collaboration, and certainly also examples of solution opportunities that are driving significant tangible value. So if you could begin by outlining what you see as some of the key careabouts in financial services, that would be great.
Thanks, Mukund. Thank you. To start, I think it would be great to just break down what we mean by financial services vertical. So it's banks, brokerage, insurance, banks divide into retail, wholesale, and investment banking, and insurance into property, casualty, and life. So that's the gist of financial services. Of course, the top priority in the current market environment is cost reduction and downsizing across the board. But there are other top carve-outs that vary by sub-vertical that are more medium-term and more persistent. For retail banks, for example, the top carve-outs are increasing deposits, increasing the share of customer wallet, and retention of top customers. Particularly important in this is during a merger or after a merger. Here, the top unified communication products relevant and solutions relevant are presence and collaboration, like the virtual expert management. For wholesale banking, the focus is on customer service differentiation, and that aims to drive an increased share of business with cross-sell and upsell. Wholesale is a high-touch service segment, and the ability to reach an account executive to give him mobility and rapid response are fundamental. Here are UC mobility products like single number reach and mobile presence are particularly helpful. For financial advisors and brokers, the number of interactions with existing and prospect customers is top of mind. This is a segment where advisors can actually fairly easily become independent. So financial services companies try to both make it convenient for the advisors, brokers, as well as to the customers to do business with them. So here, unified communications integrated to CRM and mobility are the major areas of opportunity. In investment banking, for example, it's a little bit different. It's saving time of the analyst and increasing the agility of traders. In that environment, bringing new products to market is also a big opportunity. Here, the top unified communication products are IP turrets, presence, collaboration, and mobility as well. Switching to insurance, for property and casualty, basically reducing claims costs and service costs is very, very important. Besides that, increasing the cross-sell and upsell and expanding the customer base are top of mind for the CXOs. As more and more insurance companies want to have a higher share of the agent's business, most agents serve multiple insurance companies, they're trying also to make it easier for the agents to do business with that particular insurance company. Giving agents the choice of channel and contact options is very important. Agent productivity and contact center virtualization, cross-channel integration are big hits here. Life insurance is a product that is very linked to life events like marriage or firstborn child. Many insurance companies are looking at partnering with retail channels, for example, retail banks, to take advantage of the interactions between the banks and their customers to cross-sell life insurance when one of these moments happen. In this case, the focus is to reduce the cost to serve and open up interesting opportunities in multi-channel integration and contact center virtualization.
That's a very interesting way to think of the vertical, and thanks for framing it that way for us, Leon. I didn't realize that the priorities varied so much across the sub-verticals. Given these different top-of-mind issues, can you give us maybe a few specific examples of how enterprises are leveraging unified communications and collaboration?
Most certainly, Mukun. There are several examples. What I'll do is I'll just bring it down to some of the most frequent and important ones. And by the way, I should mention that the trend is not to use unified communications as a separate platform, but to actually integrate it with other applications like CRM, the agent sales desktops, or even using unified communications through exception handling or alerts and triggers linked to the core banking system. To illustrate it better, let's take a look at a couple of examples. One is in the branch around the virtual expert management solution. And most of the top banks all over the globe are piloting it because it has huge revenue potential. It's basically using voice, presence, video, and collaboration as a set of applications to allow a branch account manager to capture a walk-in inquiry on the spot. So basically, a customer walks in, asks for a complex product. The account manager takes him to a virtual location, a small room with a monitor and camera and screen sharing capabilities, and they engage in a rich media session with a remote product specialist. And by reducing the revenue leakage from otherwise those walk-ins not being served or being served too late, the banks can capture significant revenues. For example, one U.S. bank with about 1,500 branches could add up to $160 million a year in additional revenues for just three products: mortgage, equity, home equity loans, and investments. On the contact center side, the name of the game is cross-channel integration. Basically, bringing the contact center existing expertise to the online banking side with click-to-call and co-browsing. The way it works, a customer online hovers a cursor over a product tab, let's say mortgages. She hesitates for a little bit, and that triggers a business logic that pops up an invite to get an immediate call back from a mortgage sales expert. It asks prompts the client for a preferred contact number if there's not one in file. When the expert calls back a few seconds later, he can not only talk, but actually real-time co-browse the site with the client. A text chat version of this was implemented by E-Trade to try to increase mortgage conversion ratios, and they got about 1% of the site traffic to apply for mortgages. If we do a quick math, an average bank in the U.S. gets about 3 million visitors per month on their website. If you assume that only 1 in 20, so 5%, hovers over a mortgage product tab, let's pick mortgage for the case, and you get about 150 pop-ups, so it's 150,000 visitors hovering over the mortgage product, and you assume that the same 1% that we saw at E-Trade end up buying, you have 1,500 additional sales of mortgage per month. Now, each mortgage is about $2,000 to $3,000 in revenues for the bank. If you do the math, this is between $3 and $4.5 million a month in new revenues, or $36 to $60 million a year. So it's really a big, big opportunity. Another interesting contact center branch integration opportunity is one that a innovative bank in Europe is exploring. And what they're doing is being selective as to how the account managers spend time with customers. So if in the past world, whoever called the branch got an answer. That didn't matter if it was a high-touch customer or a low-touch customer, he would get the answer at the branch, and eventually that would keep most talented executives busy with a low-value customer and the high-value customer waiting to be served. So what the contact center to branch integration did, it got the customer calling number, it looked up on the CRM database to find out if this was a high-touch or low-touch customer. If it was a high-touch customer, it would route it directly to that customer's account manager. If it's a low-touch customer, it would just throw it into the contact center pool. And with that, you end up increasing the number of interactions that the account managers have with their top customers. And with that, of course, increasing retention, increasing cross-sales, and improving customer experience. The last but not least interesting area I'd like to discuss is the banker productivity. One example here would be UC-enabled prospecting, or redirecting time from low value-added activities to customer-facing activities. So, for instance, integrating telephony and CRM to, for example, telephony and Salesforce.com, Microsoft Dynamics, and as I mentioned before, for a financial advisor or insurance agent, prospecting time ties directly to revenues. For example, you could keep a number in the ballpark of $100 per call in terms of value. So if you can save the financial advisor some time and he can make three to five more calls outbound in a day, you're adding $300 to $500 more of potential revenue to that agent. For one financial advisory company, for instance, this meant $5 million in additional revenue per year. The way it saves time is bankers no longer have to manually dial in the number, nor have to register separately the time of a call and the duration of a call and who they talk to. It actually happens all automatically with the integration between the telephony system and the CRM engine. So call notes field also gets popped up. So there's no time spent in navigating to the notes field, and it also increases the compliance and the filling rate of the notes field. So that's basically the living proof of time is money for a banker. But these four are just the top opportunities. There are many others around mobility, around collaboration, around using, for instance, instant messaging and collaboration to improve the front office, back office processes, reducing error rates, increasing compliance, and examples like that.
These are great examples, Leon. But you know, what about the cost reduction theme that you highlighted as a key top, short-term priority for CXOs in financial services, especially in today's market environment?
Great question, Mukund. Operating cost savings are definitely a top priority and a great conversation starter. And by the way, a fantastic opportunity to emphasize that UC, Unified Communications, pays for itself. In my experience, I've seen two waves of savings. The first one is just the convergence of voice and data into a single IP infrastructure, and that brings the cost down from 15 to 25% in terms of total cost of ownership for communications. One big example of that is Bank of America, where at last VoiceCon, Dennis Schmidt, the executive in charge of the IP convergence at Bank of America, revealed that they had an average cost per seat reduction of 15% and virtually eliminated all the moves, adds, and changes. So it's important to highlight that moves, ads, and changes are not the only source of savings. There are savings from connectivity with fewer POTS lines, from consolidation of data and voice lines, so you get a larger, you can get economies of scale, reduced maintenance costs, reduced staffing costs when you've centralized everything into a few clusters. So that's the first wave of opportunity. There is a second one enabled by SIP trunking that gives about the same order of magnitude of savings. And this is particularly important for retail banks because they have a distributed network of branches. So they need to keep several lines at each location. With SIP trunking, you can actually virtualize all those different connections into a big pool of branch connectivity. And if you use Erlang calculations, you can find that between at the lower end a threefold and the higher end a fivefold reduction on the number of the volume of bandwidth required is very possible. Of course, each SIP trunk is much more expensive than a single traditional fractional T1, but the net, if you of the increase in cost per trunk and the reduction in the number of trunks you need is much lower.
Oh, that's great. Are these cost savings then primarily restricted to the IT operating budget, or are there other areas of cost impact that are enabled by unified communications?
Most certainly, Mukund, they're not restricted only to the IT operating budget. Actually, the line of business get a lot of cost savings from the unified communications. It starts on the mobile phone cost savings with single number reach and dial through PBX. You have typically a 10 to 15% reduction in that cost, telework cost, calling card cost reduction using soft phones, real estate savings from a less than one-to-one mapping of employees to workstations. Well, to give you an example on that, I'm here in Houston where the office has about 130 people. I went out and counted only 76 desks and offices. Why is that? Because they're used in a hodling mode. Basically, whenever I go to the office, I pick an available desk, whichever it is. There's always many of them available, even though we only have 76 for 130 people. I log into the phone, and it takes my extension. It takes my preferences. It takes the call logs that I've made, and it becomes suddenly my own phone, even though it was just the phone that was standing on that desk. And with that, we have roughly half of the desks that you would need to have in the prior world, where everything would have been double, the square footage of the office, the rent, the maintenance, the energy, everything.
Yeah, I think that's certainly, you know, a very tangible way in which companies can think about decreasing costs. This has been very fascinating, Leon, and you know, we've obviously walked through several interesting ways in which collaboration capabilities are being integrated into business processes and applications. And you've also certainly kept it real and, you know, brought it back to the short-term priorities in today's environment by talking about the cost savings. Just before we close here, I was wondering if you had any parting thoughts on how consultants and analysts can make these benefits tangible to customers.
Well, my experience working with senior executives in business transformation engagements or in client workshops, it's the best thing is to walk clients through the examples like I just did with you, Mukund, and then work together through a back-of-the-envelope simple calculation like the one we did for Click-to-Call, asking the client for inputs related to their own reality. And after the math is done, the effect tends to be absolute understanding and realization of the value provided by these solutions. And to me, that has been the best way of making the benefits tangible.
Great. And on that note, Leon, thank you for your time and thanks to all of our listeners. We hope you enjoyed this discussion and found it informative regarding, you know, how Cisco's collaboration solutions are driving value in financial services. We will be back with more in this series of podcasts, you know, to talk about value in other verticals. Until then, stay tuned.